الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This surah, which you heard right now during Salat al-Fajr, if you joined us on time, that is a surah that is full of lessons for anyone who's involved in da'wah. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is a classical example for the prophet and the messenger and the person who strove and spent his life working for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nuh's story with his people is narrated in many different places in the Quran. And you understand that he was the first messenger who had to address the issue of shirk. Meaning prior to Nuh there was no shirk. And when shirk came about and emerged, the first messenger who was sent to address this issue and guide his people to the Tawheed was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And we learn from the beginning of the surah that shirk will destroy the person or the nation which engages in it. So the surah begins with Inna arsalna Nuha ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an yatiyahum azabun alim. We have sent Nuh to his people so that warn them before a severe punishment overtakes them. Meaning the engagement in shirk will destroy the community and the society or the country or the individual who's involved in it. Because the azab al-aleem is the severe punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And indeed they were severely punished in the dunya, and they will be severely punished, they are being severely punished now in the life of the barzakh, the interval between the life of the dunya and the life to come in the grave. And then they will be severely punished on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then they will be severely punished in the hellfire eternally. Can you imagine someone being destroyed in the dunya, destroyed and punished in the grave, destroyed and humiliated on the day of resurrection, and then he would be placed in Jahannam forever? All of this because of what? Because of what? Shirk. This is why we should never underestimate or undermine or be easygoing or lenient with shirk. Because shirk is that kind of crime. It is the kind of crime which will prevent a person from ever attaining Allah's mercy. Ever. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had told his people, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. Oh بني إسرائيل, worship Allah my Lord and yours. Whosoever associates partners with Allah, Allah has made paradise forbidden upon him. His abode will be the hellfire, the fire, and the wrongdoers will have no one to help them. The wrongdoers will have no assistance. Now in this world, You may be put in prison for a crime which you committed, or innocently. You were innocent and they put you in prison. Either way, if you have strong connection, if you know people who are in authority, people who are politicians, they may get you out of prison, even if you're a criminal. You have a nasir, assistance, aid, someone who can back you up. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, they will have absolutely no one can come and intercede with Allah for them. No one can come and speak with Allah on their behalf to intercede for them, to take him out of the fire. There will be no Ansar for them. Which is the ultimate loss. The ultimate loss. So Nuh was sent to his people to warn them against the crime of shirk. And he was sincere. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. And this is the fundamental message of every messenger. And we learned that it started with Nuh and it ended with the Prophet ﷺ. It's the same substance. Worship Allah alone, اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ and fear Him, وَأَطِيعُونَ and obey Me. This is why for you to become a Muslim, you have to say two things. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَوْ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. You have to declare your belief in the oneness and uniqueness and the divinity of Allah alone. And then you have to bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that mean? It means that you are also signing a contract. You are signing a contract. You are agreeing to a covenant with Allah that you will believe in what the Messenger said and that you will obey him. If we don't obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our contract with Allah is missing some aspects which may backfire. So one's iman will not be sound until he obeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, one will not be able to enter Jannah. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannata illa man aba." All of my nation, all of my followers shall enter paradise except the ones who refuse. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were shocked at this expression. How can someone refuse? He's saying to them, all of my ummah will enter Jannah except people who will refuse. And the Sahaba is thinking, who would refuse? Who will be given the chance to enter paradise and he will say, thank you, I'm not interested. So they said, وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who will refuse? What kind of lunatic will refuse? What kind of feeble-minded person would refuse? He said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whosoever obeys me will enter Jannah, and whosoever disobeys me, he has refused. So when we disobey him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in other words saying to Allah, I'm not interested in Jannah. Even though we may claim otherwise, our claim has to be weighed and measured according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, if you disobey him, you're basically refusing Jannah. So no one can go and disobey him and say, but I want Jannah. If you really wanted Jannah, you would have obeyed him. Because it's very simple. Allah sent a messenger and he told you, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ what? فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُهُ فَانْتَهُوا. All of these ayat are saying, obey the messenger. If you obey the messenger, you have obeyed Allah. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you, leave it alone. All of the ayat, we have tens of them. So Allah sent the messenger and told you, if you obey him, then you have obeyed me. And if you obey me, I will put you in paradise. This is the simplest formula in the world. It doesn't need a scientist or a philosopher or Einstein to figure it out. Allah sent a messenger, he said, obey him and you will be placed in paradise. If you keep playing games with this messenger, as in you don't really obey him, you keep coming up with excuses. Well, this one I can't really do, and that one is really not good for me, and this one goes against my style, and this one the culture doesn't accept, and this one my mother doesn't like, then you're playing games with this messenger. You're not really obeying him. And if you're not obeying him, you will not enter Jannah. We have to deal with facts here. We come up with all kinds of excuses why this sunnah doesn't apply to me. Yeah, I know it's a sunnah, brother, but you know, I blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I understand, but you see, blah, blah, blah. No, we don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. Either you obey the messenger or you're playing games. If you're playing games, you will see what's going to happen. You may get with it now. You may get away with it now, but you will not get away with it for long. Because the hadith says, if you disobey him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have refused Jannah. You have refused it. So Nuh was telling his people, وَأَطِعُونَ. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to the people, Ati'un, obey me. And the same way people disobeyed Nuh then, people disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ today. Why? Because Allah had decreed, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبَصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. We have already ordained, we have already chosen for Jahannam كَثِيرًا. You know what كَثِيرًا means? A lot from among the jinn and the ins, humans and jinn. Allah, if you're wondering what are their qualities, in case your mind was wondering what kind of people are these, Allah gave you the answer right away in the ayah. What is their problem? They have hearts or minds with which they don't understand. Meaning, when they receive information, it does not affect them, it does not make them obey the messenger. They hear and they ignore. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes with which they don't see. They read the hadith, but they don't act upon it. They read the truth, but they don't act upon it. They see the signs of Allah, but they don't believe in Him the way they're supposed to believe in Him. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears with which they do not hear. They hear, as in they're not deaf. But they don't hear the hearing of one who will change. Because the teacher can say to the student, be quiet. And the student will hear the teacher saying, be quiet, but he still talks. He heard him, but he really didn't hear him. He heard the sound, but it didn't make him stop. But if you tell him, be quiet, and he is quiet, he really heard what the teacher said because it actually made a change in him. Allah further said, it doesn't end, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like the livestock. Cattle, sheep, cows, camels, animals. Allah compared these individuals to animals. No, the animals are better. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. No, they are even more astray than the animal. Why? The scholars say there are two reasons. Number one, why the animal is better than the one who doesn't listen. Allah created the animal for the utilization of the human being. And the animal doesn't go against that. The horse allows you to ride it. If the horse was to act upon other than what Allah decreed, no one can ride a horse. It's big. He will kick anyone who wants to ride him. But human beings ride horses. And very rarely do they act in a particular manner. But the general principle, horses are subdued to human beings. How do people slaughter a cow? Or a sheep? Or a camel? How is a small human being dealing with a huge animal? Because Allah created them for our utilization, for our benefit, and they don't go against the purpose of life. So while Allah created the human being and jinn to worship Him, but they go against the purpose of life, so the animal is more in agreement with the purpose of life than the human being. That's the number one reason why the animal is better. The second reason is that even the animals glorify Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There isn't anything except that it glorifies and praises Allah. It is that we don't understand their glorification. While the human being was created to do tasbih, and he is too busy to do tasbih of Allah, so the animal became better than him because the animal remembers Allah and this human being doesn't. So the matter is very serious. When we go against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when we don't obey his command. Nuh then, Allah explained to us the affair of Nuh with his people. And if you read the ayat, it's amazing. قال ربي إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا. Oh Allah, I have invited my people ليلا ونهارا, in the night and in the day. فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا. The more I would invite them, my invitation did not increase them except in running away from me. That shows you how wicked they were. Usually, if you had some heart, when someone is inviting you day and night, at least you may remain in the same position, or you may make a small progress. Meaning every day you improve a little because of the reminder. But when you're being reminded and you get even further away from the one inviting you, you must be upon some major wickedness. And this is the quality of the people of bid'ah. The people of innovation, the more you call them to the sunnah, the more they run away. And the more they involve themselves in more bid'ah. The same thing with the grave worshippers. You invite them to tawheed, he will not only reject the tawheed, but he will become even more attached to the dead. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And every time I would invite them so that you may forgive them. يعني subhanAllah, he's begging them almost, come so Allah will forgive you. I'm promising you Allah will forgive you if you just return to him. They would put their fingers in their ears and they will use their garments to cover their faces. And they will insist on their disbelief, وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَرًا, and they will become arrogant and prideful. ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. Then I did it publicly. He was giving public talks and publicly invited them. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Then I was doing things publicly and in secret, one-on-one. When he advised them in front of others, they didn't accept, he would take them one-on-one, one by one, one-on-one, and give him da'wah. All of this. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. I said to them, ask forgiveness of your Lord, verily he is the one who often forgives. What happens when you seek forgiveness from Allah? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Rain will fall on you abundantly. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Then he will increase you and supply you with wealth and children. And he will give you rivers, and he will give you and gardens. So they say a man came to Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiallahu anhu aw rahimahullah, and he said, ya Imam, I'm poor, I'm in need of money, I'm poor, advise me. He said, do istighfar. He left. Another one came, said, ya Imam, you know, I don't produce any children. He said, do istighfar. And so when they left, the people came and said, ya Imam, every time someone comes to you, you tell him, go do istighfar. He said, Allah says in the Quran, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. This is how they used to react to the ayat. They would implement the ayat just as Allah revealed it. If you want a solution, Allah said, if you seek forgiveness, He will increase your rizq, your sustenance. He will forgive you your sins. He will send down rain if there's drought. And He will supply you with wealth and children. All this because we're seeking forgiveness for sins. It's not like you're doing something special. No, you're only asking Allah to forgive your sin because you're sinful. With that, with the forgiveness of sin, you get all of this whole package. SubhanAllah. And yet we're too lazy to do istighfar. How many of us do istighfar 70 times a day or 100 times a day? Exactly. You know the answer. When was the last time you counted 100 istighfar a day? Allah musta'an. Even though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do istighfar 100 times a day. In some narrations 70 times a day and more. So, and he doesn't need to, alayhi salatu wasalam. We are the ones who need this, a lot of istighfar. But you know, we're busy with the world, occupied with this worldly life. We will lose at the end. So then Nuh here, he addressed them in a very, you know, effective way. Something which will wake up those who are heedless. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. وَقَار is like respect and veneration. He said to them, what is the matter with you? You do not show Allah the veneration which He deserves. Why do you keep disrespecting your Lord by not worshipping Him alone and worshipping others with Him? Then He showed them the signs of Allah. وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. He created you in stages. And He gave you the moon, and He gave you the sun, and He gave you everything which is around you. He made it all feasible for you. Even the earth. The earth, He made it means for you to walk. If Allah made this earth so rough, we won't even be able to turn it into roads so we can drive. The earth could have been nothing but mountains, and we wouldn't have had means to go through it. But Allah made it flat and easy to travel upon. This is from the favors of Allah. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُولًا فِجَاجًا. What was the result? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّهُمْ عَصَوْنِي وَاتَّبَعُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَزِدْهُ مَالُهُ وَوَلَدُهُ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Oh Allah, they have disobeyed me, and they followed the one whose wealth and children did not increase it except in loss. And then they plotted a huge plot. What was the plot? لَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. These are these righteous people whom they claim they were shufa'a with Allah. Just like those who go to the grave and they say, these are our shufa'a with Allah. It's the same thing. Same thing, same thing. There's no difference between this shirk and that shirk. And what did they say? لَا تَذَرُنَّ أَلِهَتَكُمْ. Don't abandon your gods. They were giving da'wah to this kufr and shirk and warning each other, woe to you from abandoning these five idols of ours. What happened in return? مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْصَارًا. Because of that sin of theirs, they were made to drown. Listen to the ayat, it's ajeeb. أُغْرِقُوا, where do you usually drown? Where do you usually drown? In water. فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. They drowned in water, entered the fire. They drowned into the water, and they were permitted to the fire. When you go to the water, you're supposed to get a cool, you know, feeling. That's why people like to go swimming. No, these ones drowned into Jahannam. And they were not able to find any assistance for them, besides Allah. No one would assist them, and Allah will not assist them for their kufr and shirk. Then Nuh, after 950 years of struggle, made dua against them. After 950 years of da'wah, 950 years. You know how long that is? I don't know. If you have a calculator, multiply 950 by 356 days. Or more or less. Because the Hijri year is not like the Gregorian year. That's a lot, many, 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 many days. Then he made dua against them. When Allah had already informed him that they would not believe. And sure enough, Allah Azza wa Jal drowned them, and Nuh and those who believed in him, they were only qaleelan, they were only a few who believed in him and with him. These are the ones whom Allah saved. And Allah destroyed the mushrikeen. This is why, when you drive down the street, and you see the temple of these elephant gods and monkey gods and all this, you should worry. You should worry that Allah's punishment will come. You see, this is not pleasing to Allah at all. Allah does not love this at all. In fact, Allah hates shirk and the mushrikeen. He hates kufr and the kafirin. And you as a Muslim community must worry about this. Because if the Muslims engage with the kuffar in disobedience, then Allah may eradicate the whole town. You understand that there are countries that were wiped out. You've seen what happened in Indonesia and other countries. The tsunami, the ocean came to the land. The ocean which belongs away, the whole thing came into the land and killed thousands and thousands of people. Not only in Indonesia, many different places. Earthquakes, right? Recently there were earthquakes in somewhere in America and in Peru. They are natural disasters. India or Saudi are not an exception. Any place may be struck. Why? Because Allah will take revenge for those who commit kufr and shirk. This is why the Muslim community here must be upon righteousness. Because Allah usually will not destroy those who are upon righteousness. They will be saved. And if one of us wants to be saved, and he doesn't want to be destroyed with the rest of the mushrikeen, then he must be on good terms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we fail, then there's nothing which will keep this town alive. All this kufr and shirk all over is very dangerous. Allah always destroyed them. And Allah will eventually destroy them. So you have to have this consciousness. Don't, because of seeing it every day, it shouldn't become the norm. Don't let it become something norm. It's not no big deal that there's a statue that the people are worshipping besides Allah. This should have an impact on you. Like, this is kufr, this is shirk, a'udhu billah. How can these people worship, you know, created beings? You must have this kind of consciousness, because that is the tawheed. That is the tawheed which is burning in your heart. That makes you hate kufr and hate shirk in all of its forms and manifestations. So we learn from the story of Nuh alayhi salatu salam. In this particular surah named after him, Surah Nuh, we learn to be patient in da'wah. And we learn that we should call to tawheed, because that is the core message. And along with tawheed, obedience of the messenger. We must call to the ta'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we don't call for the ta'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we cannot establish tawheed. And this ummah will not prosper if it abandons the sunnah of its messenger. How will they prosper when they don't want to act upon the one whom Allah sent? How will Allah guide them and facilitate the affair when they disagree with the one whom He sent to them? It doesn't make any sense. So we must truly follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we truly follow him, Allah will change our affairs. When we truly follow him, India can become a Muslim country. And the West can become Muslim countries. Europe will become Muslim countries. Because Muslims are going to take over. They can try to kill us, and they can deal with demographics and studies and statistics and this. They can do all the things that they want to do, and they can put all their armies together, and they can join forces. At the end of the day, we will prevail. We will dominate, we will take over, whether they like it or they don't. If they want to extinguish the light of Allah, Allah will fulfill His light even if the kuffar hate it. That's going to happen. So then, if this is going to happen, we must be involved. How is it going to happen when we are the people of da'wah? How is it going to happen when we are upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Follow the sunnah, invite to the sunnah. Follow the sunnah, invite to the sunnah. Establish tawheed, demolish shirk. These are the qualities and the characteristics of any successful nation. If we fail, then we will bear the consequences of our failure. But inshallah, we will not. We will do it. And we will stick to the sunnah. And we will do so until we pass away. And we will invite to it until we pass away. And we will call to tawheed without fearing anyone. لا نخافوا في الله لومة لائم. We do not fear in Allah the blaming of the blamers. Because people always complain. You know, some, too much tawheed, brother. Too much tawheed. Too much tawheed. Is there anything called too much tawheed? Tawheed is the purpose of life. What too much? There's never enough. If we spoke about tawheed day and night, it's not enough. Too much tawheed. They want, you know, talk about softeners and heart softeners. No problem. But our deen, before your heart gets softened, you need to know Allah. Otherwise, I was watching with this brother the other day. We don't have TV at home. In my house, alhamdulillah, I ask Allah to aid you. I don't have a television. Because this television is a shaitan. Shaitan who wants to live in my house, I don't need any shayateen. We got plenty outside. But since we're staying in a hotel, we figured, let's see what they have on the channels in India. So we flipped to this Christian channel. There's a Hindu channel, many Hindu channels, and Christian ones. Ya Shaykh, wallah, you don't believe what you see. Wallah, we couldn't believe what we're seeing. This guy, this Christian punk, if you want to call him, he supposedly heals people. Okay? How? By them singing. You know, Lord, Lord, big concert. concert, music and everything, and he's running around the stage like a little monkey. And then when he's done, all these wheelchairs, you know, like 20, 30 wheelchairs, suddenly these people come to him walking. Before they were handicapped, now they were healed by the Lord. And this guy, you know, he touches him like this, he falls on the ground. Then they bring him back. It's comedy. Me and the brother were sitting there, I couldn't believe it. I'm laughing because this is stupid. It's as stupid as human beings can. But look at the audience. All of them are crying. Crying. Khushu'. Khushu' for kufr and shirk. Khushu' for a feeble-minded person tricking all of them. They pay this guy outside the $1,000. He comes in suddenly, he was handicapped, now he can walk. We know better than that. But all these people are crying. What does it mean? It means you can cry for kufr, and you can cry for shirk, and you can have a soft heart for someone who's dead in the grave. That doesn't mean that you are doing good. If the Christians were able to cry for all this joke, then don't think that Muslims will not be able to cry for something along the same lines. So it is not about your heart being soft, it's about your heart being soft upon Tawheed. When Tawheed is there, let your heart get as soft as you can. But a soft heart with no Tawheed is pointless. So the da'wah to Tawheed must be up and running. It must be the core of the message. We shouldn't abandon it for anyone, because abandoning it will necessitate the ultimate loss. Will necessitate the ultimate loss because of the shirk which is spread. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal to pardon us and enable us to invite to Tawheed and live upon it and live up to it. And to invite to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sincerely, and to be among his sincere followers who imitate him blindly in every single thing he said and did. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.